ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मा स्टीलिंग द बॉयज एंड द काव्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 17। क्वापि अदृष्ट्वान्तर्विपने वत्सान् पालंश्च विश्ववेत् सर्वं विधिकृतं कृष्ण सहसा वजगामः। बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: When Krishna was unable to find the calves and their caretakers, the cowherd boys, anywhere in the forest, he could suddenly understand that this was the work of Lord Brahma. Purport: although Krishna is Vishwavit, the knower of everything happening in the entire cosmic manifestation, as an innocent child, he showed ignorance of Brahma's actions, although he could immediately understand that these were the doings of Brahmaji. This pastime is called Brahma Vimohan, the bewilderment of Brahma. Brahma was already bewildered by Krishna's activities as an innocent child, and now he would be further bewildered. Om Agyan Hare Krishna. So, seeking the blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something on this verse. Difficult task for me, but somehow. So, we are reading this beautiful chapter from the 10th canto where Brahmaji is stealing the calves and the boys. That is, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, the pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela, the bewilderment of Sri Brahmaji. Actually, we have been hearing very, very wonderful classes in the past from various devotees on this particular episode and various wonderful lessons like Radhikavala Prabhu, Muralidhar Prabhu, and yesterday Hare Krishna Prabhu, elaborating on how we can learn many, many beautiful things and learn from these wonderful leelas which Krishna is performing in Sri Brajabhumi. These pastimes are of loving reciprocation. Krishna and the most intimate of all the devotees, the Brajabhasis, and specifically here in the word which Srila Prabhupada is pointing out, or Shukadeva Goswami is saying in one sense, that Krishna is Vishwavit, who is all-knowing. He knows, who is aware of everything going on throughout the whole cosmic manifestation. That is Krishna. And herein, as soon as Brahmaji steals, he immediately understands, sahasa, Shukadeva Goswami saying that, as soon as it was immediately revealed, or there is nothing which is unknown or which is hidden from Krishna. It was, in one sense, Brahmaji's mistake. Of course, he wanted to see further pastimes or further glories of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he enacted this leela, and we will see in the further pages of this chapter how Brahmaji himself gets bewildered by Krishna's powerful potencies. And herein, so we will discuss how Krishna has the quality of Vishwavit, and how he is all-knowing and all everything. There is nothing which is hidden from Krishna in this entire cosmos, in this entire spiritual abode also. As Chaitanya Charanpuru sometimes says, that Krishna is like the script writer, and then Yogamaya, she is like the director. She is directing all those leelas and pastimes in Brajabhumi. So in one sense, the script is written by Krishna. So he knows all these wonderful leelas, all these pastimes which are happening. So there's nothing which is hidden, but still Krishna enjoys great pleasure when he performs these pastimes in reciprocation with his loving devotees. That is the beauty of Krishna's pastimes and the nature of these stories or fiction or whatever we read of this world. You get the most famous movies or the most hit movies you can watch for 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, 30 times. But then over a period of time, it all becomes boring. But Krishna's pastimes are not like that. Krishna's pastimes, they're eternal, acting every moment in different universes, they are happening. But still Krishna and the Vrajabasis, the devotees, relish these pastimes. As we also know in the further chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narada Muni, after that Arishtasura demon is killed, and Narada Muni also, he comes to Krishna. He approaches first Kamsa and talks that, gives the information to Krishna that, or to Kamsa, that Krishna and Balaram are your, the personalities whom you are looking for. So you should go and invite them and do the needful. Narada Muni wanted to accelerate the leelas of the Supreme Lord in Mathura and killing off all the various other demons. But then Narada Muni also comes to Krishna. Acharya sometimes explained that he wanted to remind Krishna, now you have to come to Mathura to perform your other wonderful leela. So in this way, Narada Muni glorifies Krishna that tomorrow I will see how will you kill Keshi, how will you kill these other wonderful demons, and day after you will kill Kamsa, and the other day you will kill these other various demons, Chanur, Mushtik, and Jarasan, and facilitate all those things. So Narada Muni also in that sense, he knows all these pastimes are going to happen. Krishna is going to perform these leelas. In that sense, they are known. But there's a pleasure when the devotees see these pastimes, when the devotees hear these wonderful leelas and pastimes. There's a transcendental aspect to these leelas, and therefore, when we hear these pastimes, we get great nourishment, relishment from these leelas. They are not like the mundane pastimes of this world. Like, for example, in the mundane world also, when a small child is there, a child grows. It's a gross example. A child is growing. So everyone, in one sense, the parents know how the child is going to grow. He's going to walk in another, 2 years when he will walk, and 5 years he will do this. So these things are known, that 2 saal mein chalega, 3 saal mein daant aayega, whatever, all those details. So everyone knows, but when their own child is there, because they have love, when they see that child growing, they get great feelings of great ecstasy or reciprocation by the child, or the love increases. So similarly, it is when the devotees love Krishna, every small pastime of Krishna becomes so relishable. So that is, it's in one sense, it's a reciprocal thing. When we hear these pastimes, we develop love. And when we love to see these pastimes, we love to talk about these pastimes, we love to hear these pastimes. And by hearing, we develop that love. So there is the element of love that is there in this Krishna's pastime. Therefore, Narada Muni, even though he knows all these pastimes are going to happen, but he is relishing still when these pastimes unfold in future. He goes through Dwaraka, he meets Krishna, he sees all those leelas, he is greatly relishing those pastimes. So this is that element of love in one sense. So there is a great, and of course, Yogamaya, as Rohini Priyapru in one of his classes was analyzing, are these pastimes boring? The same repetitive pastimes are happening again and again and again. But of course, Yogamaya adds different flavors and different rasa. And of course, even if they are enacted in the same way, exactly the same way, still they are greatly relishable for all the devotees, and they are very, very purifying. So that aspect of Krishna's pastimes is there. And even in the material world, another example, we can see how we are attracted to the variety or the difference. Each one of us, or all the people in the conditioned world, are experiencing miseries or troubles or difficult times in lives. That is the nature of this world. Dukhale ashashvatam. But still, in the conditioned state, we are inspired, or we are attracted to read the newspapers, to watch the news, to see how different peoples are suffering in different ways. We would like to discuss how the way I am suffering and how the other person is suffering. For somebody, there is no sun, somebody has no money, somebody has lots of money, somebody is diseased. So different variety. So that variety, in one sense, that attracts us because of our conditioned mind. Similarly, when we have in our purified state, that same pastimes of Krishna become relishable. How Krishna grows up, how Krishna gets up. Even we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, those who have great love for Srila Prabhupada. Even a small thing which Srila Prabhupada would do, just drinking water from a cup, Srila Prabhupada. Devotees would be like fascinated and write that whole pastime in like a paragraph describing how Prabhupada would drink water or how Prabhupada would take an orange and spit that seed out directly into the dustbin. If somebody doesn't have any love or any doesn't know who Srila Prabhupada is, it may seem very, very mundane. But it's that element of love, that affection, that worship, that when you know that personality, then you can experience great joy in hearing those pastimes. And in case of Krishna, by hearing these pastimes, we gradually develop that love. So that is Krishna's all-knowing or Krishna's potency of these pastimes. And various points which different devotees were discussing, I remember Hare Krishna Prabhu was wonderfully describing this. All these pastimes, they describe the pastime, they also describe the place where these pastimes are happening, like here in the Brajbhumi is described. And we will see how later Krishna actually gives the vision to Brahmaji. Then Brahmaji is able to see Brajbhumi, as Hare Krishna Prabhu was describing yesterday, that all the Bhumi is a place where there is no envy. Even the animals, they are jumping, frolicking together. Even the most fierce animal, the lion and the deer, they are kissing, embracing each other. So that is Vrindavan. So that vision was given to Brahmaji later on. He was seeing the whole Brajbhumi. He was seeing these Krishna's pastimes, all these happening. But he was actually not seeing Vrindavan. So over that, with that repentance, with those offerings of prayers which Brahmaji offered, then actually that vision of Vrindavan was offered to Brahmaji. Similarly, so he was describing five P's, the pastimes, the places, the personalities. These Braj Bhaktas are described, their glories are being enunciated. We see in this wonderful Leelas also how one of the main themes while we were discussing Agasur, the different devotees were pointing out the contrast with Shukadeva Goswami gives. The cowherd boys, they see Aghasur, open mouth, they discussing among themselves, is this a demon or some python, or is it a statue, or is it a hill, or what is it, or is it a cave? And they just happily seeing towards Krishna, looking behind, Krishna standing behind, they are looking towards Krishna and running in that cave. That even if it is a demon, Krishna will take care. And at the same time, Shukadeva Goswami describes that the demigods were amar, they are drinking amrit every day, but they were fearful of this Aghasur, powerful demon. And of course, Shukadeva Goswami describes he was very, very powerful. Shukadeva Goswami, referring to Aghasur, says he was a Mahasur, so not an ordinary Asur. So even the demigods were fearful of these. So these wonderful personalities. And of course, we learn wonderful lessons and philosophical points, like here in Srila Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is with Vishwavit, the knower of everything which is happening within the entire cosmic manifestation. He knows what is going on each and every one of our hearts also. That is the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Just that faith in this one statement can solve all our problems and make us most beautifully situated in Krishna consciousness, that Krishna is all-knowing. He knows what is going on in each and every individual's souls, in each and every individual's heart. Many times we get doubt that I am offering so many prayers, I'm praying for this, I'm praying for this. Is Krishna hearing? Krishna is all-knowing, Vishwavit. He knows all our prayers, all our situations in which we are, all our mental condition, all our physical state and everything. All that is very, very well known to Krishna. He is Vishwavit, as Prabhupada is explaining. And just that faith on this actually can make us so beautifully situated in Krishna consciousness, that Krishna is all-knowing. Because all the prayers which we offer to Krishna are answered. As the devotees say, that sometimes the answer is yes and sometimes the answer is no to those prayers. So they are answered. Krishna fulfills all the prayers by sometimes saying yes, by sometimes saying no. That is the beauty of Krishna. He is a loving God. He knows what a devotee needs, what a devotee, what is the best for his spiritual life. So by doing that, by saying no to our prayers, Krishna is actually benefiting. That is Krishna's job, loving reciprocation with his devotees. So in that sense, we should be grateful to Krishna for the prayers which he answered and for the prayers which he did not answer. Probably more for those prayers which he did not answer, because he knows what is best for our Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna's love for his devotees. So in this way, this beautiful point is being made here. And now, we will discuss one episode from, of course, there are many pastimes in Krishna Leela and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which enumerate how Krishna is all-knowing. He knows all the devotees' desires, all the, and how Krishna reciprocates and fulfills those desires. So one of the pastimes was the pastime of which Krishna enacts with Sri Akrurji, one of the very wonderful devotees who stayed in Mathura. Of course, all the Yadus, they have escaped, they ran away out of Kamsa's fear. And one of the devotees who stayed back, one of them was Akrurji. And how Krishna very wonderfully exhibits this quality of Vishwavitha and how he reciprocates, we will see in this beautiful narration in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, after killing all the demons, most of the demons in Vrindavan, the Aristasura and everyone else, Narad Muni, as we were discussing, goes to Kams. He tells about Krishna and Balaram. And he goes to Krishna and tells him about his future duties in Mathura and Dwarka. And then after that, our Kams, he is planning to invite Krishna and Balaram for a powerful wrestling match in Mathura, in his palace playground, which he had built. And he was ready with all his Kovalyapid and Chanur and Mushtik and all those different arrangements he had made to kill Krishna and Balaram. So herein he calls for Akrurji. He thinks that he is probably the most appropriate person to go. And he very soberly, demoniac people, somehow diplomacy, very, very diplomatically approaches Akrurji, that I am very, very dependent on you. You can help me. And the example, Shukadeva Goswami says, he gives this, just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu to achieve his results, I have come to you. So he's fighting with Vishnu, but then the example is giving that, like Indra took shelter of Vishnu, therefore I have come to take shelter of you. And then now please help me. I have heard that Krishna and Balaram are my Kala. So please go, and this is a new chariot for you. You can go and take. Acharya has explained the purport that Kamsa was thinking probably Akrurji is a simple person. He'll be probably attracted by the new chariot which is being offered. Of course, it is explained that it was not befitting for Krishna and Balaram to sit in a chariot which was used by Kamsa. So it was most appropriate thing that he sent the new car or new chariot for Krishna and Balaram to be brought. So Akrurji, he understands, he pacifies, that you are making all these plans to Krishna and Balaram, but one should be equipoised in all the plans which you make. Ultimately, it's Vishnu he directs, or who, as Prabhupada explains, man proposes, God disposes. So Akrurji is trying to pacify Kamsa that be careful, be mature, even if the result doesn't come. And he is very, very eager to go. This was on the day of Ekadashi, the holy day, where Kamsa asked Akrurji to go. And then that's the day when Keshi and the Vyomasur came. And so Akrurji very, very happy that he will be able to see Krishna and he will be able to have the reciprocation and have the darshan of Krishna. He's very, very eager the whole night. Shukadeva Goswami explains, he was Mahamati, and the Acharyas in the purport explains that he was up the whole night, Mahamati. That is why he's been referred to as by Shukadeva Goswami as Mahamati. He was performing kirtan, he was preparing himself on that Ekadashi night to go on this most beautiful journey to Vrindavan to see Krishna, Balaram and all the cowherd boys. That was his eagerness, and he just was doing bhajan and kirtan and with great determination to see the Krishna and Balaram. He was very, very eager to see, and the next day he is ready, even without breaking his Ekadashi fast, not considering about the paran time that I have to eat prasad and then go. No, he is so eager to see Krishna. He goes with great eagerness, mounts the new chariot, and with great devotion for the Supreme Lord Krishna, and he's heading towards Sri Vrindavan. And on the way, Shukadeva Goswami brilliantly describes the prayers or the mood in which Akrurji, with great humility, how with great humility he approaches the Supreme Lord. That was very wonderfully described, that he was thinking that what are the pious deeds or what is the piety in my life? What do I have done that I will be able to see Krishna and Balaram. I am a materialistic person absorbed in serving Kamsa and I'm in Kamsa's reign, and I'm, in that sense, Kamsa is the enemy of Krishna and Balaram. How will I be able to see what is my great fortune? So in this way, he's thinking a lot and with great humility. And of course, he finally reconciles that Krishna can do anything. If he wants to give darshan, he can give darshan to me also by the arrangement, or he says that by the waves of time, like those blades of grass on the ocean sometimes are thrown onto the shore. So similarly, by the waves of time, if Krishna wishes, I will be able to get the beautiful darshan of the Supreme Lord, my worshipable master. And Shukadeva Goswami brilliantly says, Kala Nadya, that is the nature of the time. It's flowing all the time. And by the flow of time, Krishna willing, Krishna seeing the sincerity of each one of us, will manifest himself. It is only by his desire, his wish, his prerogative, when he wants to reveal himself to each one of us. And that is what here our Akrurji, very, very eager to see Krishna and Balaram. Of course, even Kamsa was also eager to see Krishna and Balaram. But his eagerness was in killing Krishna and Balaram. So Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that Kamsa was also eager to see Krishna and Balaram, but Akrurji was wanted to see Krishna and Balaram to serve, to glorify Krishna. That was the difference. Prabhupada explains that in what consciousness we see Krishna and Balaram, that is what is purifying. Even Kamsa and all the demons, they were able to see Krishna and Balaram. So that is what Prabhupada explained, that even seeing a great soul, in what consciousness we see, that is what determines how much purification we will get. So there is much more to than seeing Krishna. How we want to see Krishna, in which mood, or how we want to see the Guru or the spiritual master, in which mood we want to see him, that is what is important, Prabhupada explains. And so in this way, Akrurji is thinking that in one sense it was ironical that Kamsa has sent me to this place to see Krishna and Balaram, who is demoniac. So he was grateful to Kamsa also that facilitating my darshan of Krishna and Balaram. So of course, Kamsa is like the difficulties or obstacles. If you see in the life of, definitely, this Bhagavatam doesn't describe about Akrurji in Mathura, but definitely it must be a difficult life staying with people, demoniac people like Kamsa and his associates. It must be a very, very difficult life. He was the only one who stayed in Sri Mathura. So in that sense, he had a great difficult life, as I think Muralidharpu was in his wonderful class was explaining, that how each one of us want to stay in association of like-minded people. So similarly, Krishna also wants to stay in his people with like-minded association. Therefore, one has to be purified to see Krishna or live with Krishna. Of course, this reminds me of another beautiful point which yesterday was being described, that Krishna's reciprocation in this wonderful leela or pastime, that Aghasur allowed Krishna and all the cohort boys to enter in his mouth to kill Krishna. And Krishna also, in reciprocation, allowed Aghasur to enter inside his body to deliver Aghasur. It's a beautiful contrast. That is the nature of Krishna, all good. He can never do any harm, as we were hearing. These wonderful qualities in these wonderful pastimes come forth, that even in Krishna's killing, it is all good. Even if Krishna wants to do something bad to someone, he cannot do. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord Krishna. He is all good in all circumstances, at all times, in the most merciful Lord. See, even Aghasur, he wanted to kill Krishna by taking him inside the mouth. Krishna also took Aghasur within his body, but to deliver him, to purify him. That is the beautiful mercy of the Supreme Krishna. So in that way, Akrurji is seeing, he is walking, and on the way he see, overcoming these thoughts of humility and having faith in Krishna, and how even Kamsa became the way. So like that, in our lives also, with great humility, when we march towards seeing Krishna, there will be difficulties, there will be people like Kamsa who will be opposing. And then, like here, Akrurji is seeing, he is grateful to Krishna. So if we can be on Of course, it's very difficult if we can be on that level. We are grateful for the difficulties, that how they are helping us to take shelter of Krishna more. Then we will see Krishna as Akrurji saw. So with that thoughts, Akrurji is moving forward. And he sees beautiful omens passing on his side. The deers are moving on the right and other beautiful omens. So that gives him more faith. So we in our practice also, we see some beautiful experiences which we, in while practicing devotional service, we experience some beautiful realizations, some beautiful experiences in the kathas, in the kirtans, in association. That gives us more faith and more hope, and we are more eager. And then, of course, Akrurji is meditating on Krishna's position. He is glorifying the Supreme Lord. Akrurji is saying that Krishna is the witness of all the material cause. He is free from false identification. He is, by his internal potency, he dispels all the confusions and the darkness. And in this way, various verses, he is glorifying the Supreme Lord, establishing Krishna's position as the Supreme. And then, in a beautiful verse, Akrurji is concluding his glorification. He's saying that all the sins are destroyed and good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities and appearances. And the words that describe these three things animate, beautify and purify the world. On the other hand, the words bereft of his glories are like the decorations on a corpse. So these beautifully describes that these words which describe Krishna's qualities, activities and appearances, they are like prananti, they give life to this world, they give life, they purify, they beautify and they purify this world. They purify the devotee from all his anarthas in this way, they purify the entire world, they beautify by enjoying beautiful, Vishwanathachakra Thakur Pada explains, by enjoying beautiful qualities in a devotee. The qualities of merciful, qualities of daya, qualities of other wonderful qualities are endowed just by hearing these wonderful qualities and pastimes. And they animate, they give life to the hearer, to the speaker, to the inquirer. So all those people, everyone is inspired. So this is the... So in this way, Akrurji was meditating on Krishna's qualities, on his beautiful form, on his pastimes. So in this way, he was... And I greatly absorbed all throughout his journey to Vrindavan. So that is what our goal is, to be absorbed in Krishna's qualities, in his pastimes, in his devotees, in glorifying them. And then, so he is now expecting or thinking what will happen once I reach Sri Vrindavan. And then he sees that with great happiness, I will derive great satisfaction or happiness, and all the sorrows of my life will be completely vanquished and destroyed. That is the, when I have the darshan of Krishna. And then he says that as soon as I see Krishna and Balaram, I will immediately get down and offer obeisances to Krishna, to Balaramji, to all the cowherd friends and all the residents of Brajabhumi. That was his mood. Not only Krishna and Balaram, but all the devotees of Brajabhumi. He was ready. He was eager to offer and take the dust of all the devotees of Brajabhumi. And then he's thinking that how Krishna will actually pick me up while I'm offering his obeisances to me. He will bless me by placing his hand, which removes all the fear from all the devotees. So that... Akrurji is thinking that how actually Krishna will bless me by putting his lotus hand, which in the next verse Shukadev Goswami describes that by offering charity to that lotus hand, Akrurji is thinking that Purandar and Bali, they earned the status of Indra. Purandar, another devotee who offered or did some sankalpa by offering water, and then he achieved the position of Indra by Krishna's benedicting hand. That is the nature of Krishna's blessings, Krishna's powerful hand. And the purport is explained that Krishna's hand is like the lake, the fragrant like the lotuses from the Manasarovar, which is called Sogandhik. A very, very fragrant Krishna's hand, which brings fragrance in all the devotees' lives. That is, and of course, Akrurji is thinking about the wonderful and the highest love of the Brajabasis, the gopis, that Krishna's hand is fragrant by being touching the breasts or the heads of the gopis in the Rasa Leela when they were having perspirations. Krishna wiped them. By that, Krishna got that fragrance in his hands. In this way, he was meditating on these wonderful leelas, and the highest Braj devotees, with that great eagerness, Krishna is, Akrurji is moving, and then he is thinking how Krishna will place his hand, and Krishna will actually embrace me, and he will take me to his home, and then how Balramji would, Krishna, who is the reservoir of all the beauty, he will actually, Balramji would actually embrace me, hold me by my hand, and take him to the house of Nanda Maharaj, to the Nanda Bhavan. In this way, he's meditating, and then he's thinking how actually I'll be recognized by Krishna. How Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, how Akrurji is thinking that how Krishna would come and Balramji would tell, and they will tell him, Akrur uncle, please come. So in this way, Krishna would, Akrurji was thinking how lovingly they would. So that is being explained. That is what we are all looking for, Krishna's recognition, as in this beautiful verse. It is described that Akrurji is thinking that at that very moment my life's purpose will be fulfilled. That is the purpose of my life, will be fulfilled. That I will be recognized. I will humbly stand before Krishna with bowed head and joined palms, and he will address me, my dear Akrur uncle. At that very moment my life's purpose will be fulfilled. Instead, the life of anyone whom the Supreme Personality fails to recognize is simply pitiable. That is the satisfaction of Akrurji, being recognized by Krishna. That is what, as sadhakas or as devotees, we are looking forward to, is recognition from the Supreme Lord. Everyone in this world also wants recognition from some great personality, some connection to great personality. Everyone wants that I am connected to this person, I am connected to this person, or the big minister, or all those. Everyone wants to have some connections, this world of connections. That's how things work in this world. See, herein, we are interested also as sadhakas or as devotees to be connected or to be recognized by Krishna and his devotees. And that is what Akrurji is saying. So then that my life will be perfect, being recognized by the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And then he will take me to his house, honor me with different ritualistic offer items, and then they would ask about Kamsa. So in this way, he is greatly meditating on these wonderful points. And then, of course, Shukadev Goswami explains when he says that Deham Bhritam Iyan Artho, that the very goal of life for the all embodied living is the ecstasy which Akrurji was experiencing when he saw the Krishna's lotus footprints. When as soon as he entered Sri Brajbhumi, he saw the beautiful lotus footprints of Krishna marked with the thunderbolt, the elephant goad, and all those different beautiful marks on Krishna's lotus footprints. And he immediately gets down, he jumps from the chariot in great ecstasy. He offers obeisances and rolls down on the Brajbhumi, the ground of Sri Brajbhumi. And in this way, in great ecstasy, he is rolling and rolling and rolling. So that was his ecstasy. And Shukadeva Goswami is saying that this ecstasy, in concluding this Akrurji's thought process, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that this is the conclusion of all the purpose of the life, is to experience that ecstasy which Sri Akrurji is experiencing, seeing the beautiful lotus feet of Krishna. That is, in Vrindavan, that is the beauty of Brajbhumi. Krishna's lotus footprints are marked. Not even the birds, not even the animals, they step on Krishna's lotus footprints. They preserve. That is the wealth of Brajbhumi. That is what Mother Earth enjoys, the greatest experience of Krishna's lotus footprints when Krishna is personally there. Otherwise, in Vaikuntha or other planets, probably Krishna wears shoes. But herein, is directly being touched by the lotus footprints of Krishna. That is the speciality of Vrindavan. Other places, probably Lord Ram or other incarnation, wherever other places also, they would be wearing shoes. But herein, Krishna's lotus footprints are impressed on Sri Brajabhumi. So here, of course, Shukadeva Goswami explains that he gave up dambham, bhiyam, and shaucham, that he was purified by giving up all the pride, fear, and lamentation. That is what the qualification is to experience that ecstasy. He gave up all his pride, that he was a minister of Kamsa, brig aristocrat, and here he is rolling. If we just slick from the material point of view. It was just rolling on the dust where some cowherd boys are staying, and he was a big minister, so it doesn't make sense. So he gave up all that pride. Otherwise, sometimes there is a reservation. When we even go to the dham, there are sometimes reservation. Should I roll? Is this unclean? Or so many thoughts come that somebody is seeing, or what am I doing? Or those reservations are there. But here, Akrurji, big diplomat, big leader, but he just gave up all that pride and the fear that Kamsa will come to know, because Kamsa had always all those spies everywhere. So whether Kamsa will come to know, then probably he may do some harm to me or do harm to my family members. So he gave up all that lamentation, fear, and pride of being the minister. So we also have to gradually, by purification, give up that pride in whatever abilities, whatever talents, whatever knowledge, whatever strength, or whatever things which we have. As long as we have that pride, we cannot roll in the dust of the lotus feet of all Krishna and his devotees. Rolling in the sense, taking complete shelter, that's what rolling for us is. That taking complete shelter of the devotees helplessly. As long as we have that element of pride, element of fear, element of lamentation, it's difficult to roll. It's very difficult to roll in the dust of the great souls. So here, he was able to do that, Akrurji. That is, and see, we see the result as soon as Akrurji goes forward. He sees Krishna and Balaram, the beautifully dressed Krishna and Balaram going to milk the cows in Vrajabhumi, beautifully dressed in the yellow garments, having lotus eyes, and beautifully Krishna dressed in yellow dhoti, sparkling dhoti, and Balaramji in blue, going to milk the cows. So when he actually saw, he quickly jumped off again from the chariot and fell at the feet of Krishna and Balaram like a rod, offering wonderful prayers. And as it was thought by Akrurji, Krishna actually lifts Akrurji at that time and places his hands. That is the beauty. And Shukadeva Goswami explained that Krishna extended his hand marked with the chariot wheel. And then the acharyas explained that the importance of the mark of the chariot wheel is that Krishna was assuring or indicating his ability to kill Kamsa. He was assuring Akrurji that, and then he actually places Krishna recognized Akrurji. That is what Shukadeva Goswami describes. And in this way, he actually held Akrurji by his hand, takes him to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and ask him how he has been, and they worship Krishna and Krishna and Balaram both worship Balaramji, massaging the lotus feet of Akrurji and offering wonderful prayers, and Krishna addressed him as my dear uncle. So all those, Krishna is all-knowing. That is the point we began with. That Krishna is all-knowing. He knew Akrurji's desires, Akrurji's wishes. That Akrurji was thinking how Krishna will, whether, initially he had that doubt whether Krishna will accept me or not, because I am coming from Kamsa's side, who is the enemy of Krishna. So whether I will be accepted or not, that was the Akrurji's initial fear. And herein, of course, there also, the same word, Akrurji also, when he's reconciling himself, he's saying, Krishna is also Vishvadrik, as who knows everything what is happening in the entire cosmos. So that was what Srila Prabhupada in today's purport is saying, that Krishna is Vishvavit, and here Akrurji is saying Krishna is Vishvadrik, meaning the same, that Krishna knows what is there in each devotee's hearts, each devotee's desire is, whatever the desire of the devotee is there, and then Krishna reciprocates in the same way as Akrurji was meditating upon, thinking upon, Krishna reciprocates. So that is Krishna's reciprocation in Sri Vrindavan. Of course, as Hare Krishna was explaining, that we have to understand these devotees, these personalities who are taking place, these persons, they are not ordinary personalities. Some of them are, of course, many of them were the eternal associates of Krishna who have come to participate in this wonderful leelas. But some of them were probably the sadhakas, the Rishichari gopis, the Manichari gopis, and great sages who did lots of tapasyas, who sacrificed a lot, as Shukadeva Goswami himself, the Bhagavatam says, Krita Punya Punja, having acquired lots of pious activities by performing spiritual activities, by going through underfoot, tremendous purification. Now they were receiving this wonderful association of Krishna. So I'll just conclude with one song which I heard from Punjab, a beautiful song in Punjabi which summarizes this theme, how actually it requires a lot of purification before we can be offered to Krishna, before we can actually think or get attracted to these wonderful pastimes. So there are like four verses to this. I don't know how to sing, but I'll just read one of the verses and then I'll just tell the translation for the other. So I'll just read the first verse, which says, a beautiful song which just fits in the mood that it's not easy to achieve Krishna's mercy. We have to struggle. We have to endeavor. We have to give up pride. We have to give up fear. We have to give up lamentation as Akrurji gave up to see Krishna. So that is so this beautiful song which says, Mana kis tarah saavarenu paida, pehle apana aap gavaida, fir saavarenu paida, mana is tarah saavarenu paida. That how do you achieve Krishna? First, you have to give up your own self. Apana aap gavaida. You have to give up your own self to achieve Krishna. Fir saavarenu paida. And then gives four different beautiful examples that if you want to achieve Krishna, how? So this is the first one is, Full kenda menu mali ne todeya, fir suya mar ke tage vich piroleya. Main ta fer vi kuch na bolya, main ta fer vi moh na bolya. Ban ke haar mein saavre aage aa gaya. Mainu Shyam ji ne gal naal la liya. Mana is tarah saavre nu apna bana liya. This is in Punjabi, very beautifully written by some Vaishnav there. That full kenda menu mali ne todeya, that a flower is speaking, is saying that a mali or a gardener actually first plucked me from the forest and then they pierced me with the needles as their Matajis are making beautiful garlands. So we can imagine from the flower's perspective. Of course, Mataji is making tremendous advancement by offering those flowers, making those wonderful garlands for Radha Gopinath, some of the best garlands. But here, looking from the flower's perspective, this saint is saying, look from the flower's perspective, the flower is plucked from the forest or brought from the Dadar, whatever, from that busy market by some devotee, plucked, brought from the market, then pierced by the needles. Each petal is broken sometimes in these beautiful garlands. Every petal is broken, separated from that flower, pierced by the needle. And then the flower says that I still remain quiet and silent. And that, what is the result? By the association of those devotees who did that, I received the mercy and I could go and reside on the lotus chest of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. That is what the flower is saying from this flower's practice, that I had to tolerate all this without saying anything. If the flower is starts speaking that, why to me, why you have taken me, why you have chosen me, and he just runs away or he goes away or he just falls down, then he won't get that opportunity. So that flower had to tolerate all that piercing to receive or to receive Krishna's sannidhya or Krishna's association. So in this way, different examples. Another one is given that the bans or the bamboo is saying that I was being taken from the forest, thrown into the sunlight to be dried, and then made holes into me. And then I was actually received the association of Krishna's lotus lips. So all that without saying anything, I offered myself for the hands of devotees who made those holes, who dried them and who brought them to Radha Gopinath. So in this way, he achieved those lips of Krishna's. And then he says that, another one is that the gold is saying that I was dug from the mines, put into heating chambers to be heated, to be purified, then beaten up, then that embedded in the diamonds and jewels, and then I was allowed to be offered to the head of the Supreme Lord. So all that had to be gone. So in this way, And then another example is milk. He's saying that I've been milked first and made into dahi and then churned. So in this way, so everyone, all of them, they agreed to be churned, to be beaten, to be heated up, to be pierced, and then they achieved Krishna's mercy. So in that sense, so for everyone there is an individual. For a flower there is a different process. For the gold it is the heat, for the flower it is the piercing. For each one of us, Krishna has his own unique and beautiful plans. For some, Krishna has to pierce. For some, Krishna has to heat up. For some, Krishna has to churn. So in this way, each one of us have to go through these different churning, piercing, heating, and then we can become offerable to Shri Radha Gopinath. So that is our... And of course, Krishna is the most merciful Lord. So he does it in a way where a devotee can tolerate and get purified. That is Krishna's mercy, as very beautifully brought out yesterday. So I love this point, that Aghasur's point, that Aghasur swallowed Krishna to kill Krishna, and Krishna took Aghasur inside his body to purify, to deliver him. So with this we will end. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.